So you need to know the difference between the trend and the future.
Okay. And what's the difference?
So I'll tell you. Okay. A trend does not necessarily mean the future. It can be hype.
Okay.
And we do gather a lot of those in our industry. So you need to understand what are the trends that you need to embrace and invest in. Okay. And what are the trends that are just passerbys?
Okay.
And some of those can be good. Some of those can be relevant and they can help you on the short run or maybe on the long run.
Welcome to today's episode of Reimagining You. Today we're diving into the world of entrepreneurship, technology, and personal branding. Especially the episode of today is geared for the younger audience. We hope to inspire them to start building their own personal brand beyond their careers and to create a future that they can own and develop. I am pleased to be joined by Mr. Wissam Sabbagh. Now, he's a true innovator with 19 years of experience. He disrupted the world of digital media, maybe. But I will have Wissam share a bit of his journey by giving the audience a glimpse of his career from the day he started till today. But first, welcome, Wissam. And I heard that you just landed from South Africa overnight flight. You must be very tired. And it's great to see you here. And thank you for accepting the invitation to be on the podcast. How does it feel landing in Dubai after the 9 hours overnight flight?
I miss Dubai. I didn't have time to see it after that long flight. I just crashed into bed and woke up and made it in time for the podcast. Thank you, Dr. Ali, for hosting me on your platform. And I wish that I can contribute with ideas that can inspire the younger generation, the younger entrepreneurs. What I will be sharing is my personal experience. It could work for certain people. However, every single entrepreneur, I think, is eventually going to find a certain niche or a certain path that works for them. However, I do wish that they can make out something out of my experience. I'll start off with how I started. So I started quite young. I went into college to learn electrical engineering. And ever since I was young, I used to love computers. In fact, I remember breaking down and reassembling my personal computer at home so many times.
So electrical engineering is because of your choice or because of your parents' choice?
No, to be honest, I wanted to major in computer engineering, and maybe that's the first time I share this. I did not make the required grades on the entrance exam for computer engineering. And then they switched me to electrical because back then there were a lot of students who wanted to enter the computer engineering program. They had to choose from a certain quota. And I did not make that quota. And I was like, engineering both ways, I don't mind. When I got into electrical engineering, I was more curious about the practical part of engineering, as in creating things, looking at robotics, AI. So the more practical side of it. I quickly came to realize that it was more theoretical. And this actually made me, I continued the program and I got the degree and I was like, Dad, your son's an engineer. But at that same time, I was starting to experience a different dimension, which is the passion I had developed for computers, for software. So I launched my first company. I was 19. It wasn't really a company. So it was me with a computer in my bedroom and internet connection. No, I did things the way I knew how to do them back then. I never had any professional experience. So it was just me learning through trial and error. And then that company, which was an agency back then, it scaled, it grew. We became a subcontractor to a lot of these big agencies that you hear of. Some of them are regional and global agencies. But then I realized that if you really want to scale, you need to be into product. So you need to create a product that can solve real business challenges. And then you can build professional services around that product offering. And so I moved from services into product, and one thing led to another. So I launched another company, which became quite successful, a market leader in its industry, and then serially launched a few other companies, some of which I have personally launched, some of which I have incubated, some of which I have invested in, however, actively been part of, bringing me up to today.
Very good, very good. So I'm going to bring you to 2016. There was an article that Wamda has written, and where you talked a little bit about the start of your recent product, which is Mango Molo, which you'll probably tell us a bit more about it. But I was privileged to be quoted, and that's for the audience, that to be your business mentor. So I thank you for that. I just came up with that article while I'm doing a little bit of preparation for this meeting. So how was the journey from 2016 till now with the Mango Molo?
I think every entrepreneur should have two parallel development journeys. One is on the corporate front. So it is the company that they are launching or leading or creating. And one is on the personal front. Because I had no enterprise experience, I had no employment experience whatsoever, the personal development journey was as important. At some point, it's even more important than the other one. So I had to learn things on the personal front. And growing up, I was more of an introvert, to be honest. If you want to start a company, exactly. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, you need to be extroverted as well. So I had to get out of my comfort zone. And I'm going to go back to the Mango Molo question, but I'm going to tell you how I got there. So on the personal front, for me to be able to build that personal brand that is able to inspire people, whether they are your colleagues, whether they are your customers or potentially investors, I had to go through a lot of education, some of which was self-learning, some of which was mentorship. And here I go back to our old relationship. So yes, these discussions that I have had with you and different mentors have taught me a lot of things. Some of the stuff that I have learned back then only became relevant right now at this place in my career. However, you do recall them. And once you get to that point, you do remember all these discussions. On the corporate front, specifically about Mango Molo, it has grown to become quite a successful company. So we work with a lot of tier one customers in our industry. I'm proud to say that we started off as quite a small company with zero outside investment. Today, we have become a market leader in what we do, serving customers from the region all the way to Africa, Europe, and different continents. So it has been quite a journey, not an easy one, definitely. What I realized throughout that journey is every single milestone requires a different set of effort, but every milestone requires effort. And you can never just lay back and relax. So just once you get to that milestone where you feel, okay, I think I should cool down. No, I think you need to push harder because you need to move on to the next and to the next and to the next one.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I mean, I love the way you have put in the story, because it's the first aspect that we would tell our audience is start to define your mission. Find that mission that you want to achieve and build on, right? Sounds like you found it early on and you started working on it. The second point that we talk about is finding your unique value. What differentiates you from others? And I like to bring in what you said, because especially for young entrepreneurs, they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the corporate pedigree. They don't have the years of experience like I did. I grew up in the corporate world. So when I speak with authority based on my knowledge. But for you, it was very challenging, or supposed to be very challenging. And for the young entrepreneurs, how we would project authority to whether it's an investor, whether it's your customer, whether it's even the employees that want to join you, right? So that's a challenge. And let's talk about this a little bit. How did you overcome that challenge?
As you said, it is quite hard when you do not have a track record. So if you have a track record, you are known for your achievements or whatever you have delivered, it makes it quite easier. But in the early days, it's much harder. And I would say the way of doing that is you need to build knowledge. So you need to build excellent understanding of whatever vertical you are active in. At the same time, you need to build personal skills that allow you to convey your ideas in the right way to the right set of audience. So you cannot communicate an idea to an engineer, a technical person, the same way you communicate it to a non-technical person or to an investor. So you need to speak different languages to different people. But if I am to sum it up, I would say once you build that skill set, that set of knowledge, you are able to create content. And content, while we have an abundance of content, good content still makes an impact.
Absolutely.
And people get inspired with content. And then you have those terms like content to commerce. And these are quite valid terms today. And once you start doing that, you would start being portrayed as a thought leader. And then it becomes much easier from that point where you are sitting with a customer on the second side of the table and they have actually been acquainted with whatever content you have created.
Yeah.
And it makes it much easier to do business with them. And once you land that first customer,
that's it.
You build a good success story and you start building a track record and it becomes much easier from there.
Very nice. Very nice. So I think after, if I would to summarize what you said to me, once you find your unique value, which is, you know, had to build through presence, through personal development, acquiring that knowledge and then trying to put out content that gives you, a progressive authority in the subject, right? And then you found your own voice, which is, you brought up a good comment on communication. And that's how people can find their own voice. How would they like to communicate out to the open? To people, to customers, to even the internet people, or to physically out? I asked you today, when you landed out of South Africa, did you really have to go? When you have, a president of your company and people working for you. And you said, yes, I have to be still out in the open. I have to present. I have to be sitting in a panel. I have to keep on assuring and reassuring my authority in that field, which is a great point for the audience to really get out. Let's talk about content. So typically now the economy is shifting from knowledge economy to attention economy. Everybody wants to go on the creator economy or intimacy economy, and that we group them as attention economy. And I coined a phrase in my book, which is now we're living in a hybrid economy where it's a mix of knowledge, intimacy and creator economy coming together. And slowly for the young generation, they're playing in the attention economy. For the older generation, we are still in the knowledge economy. We sell knowledge. But with the AI, everything will kind of be shifting and we see it rapidly shifting. So back then, how much content did you have to create on LinkedIn, posts, papers, piece of articles, to really grab that attention? And how is it today for you in terms of content?
Look, no matter what stage your company is in, you should keep creating content because good content goes hand in hand with innovation, with product development, with company news, all of which will expose your company to eyeballs. And some of those eyeballs are potential customers. So this is something that I used to heavily invest my time in, and I still do today. I mean, we do have a specific team that handles that, but it's something that I still overlook to a certain extent. Why personal content is also quite important, because if you're starting a company, and a lot of these big companies that you see today, when they started, it was just about people. So yes. People want to work with people. And while you can find a lot of customers in our industry who know our company names today, the majority know Wissam. Mm-hmm. And they would want to deal with Wissam to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Now, my time is quite limited as you grow, and you need to learn how to transition from that into building a proper structure and all this. But content has been key because, as I said, it goes, the more you create content, and I'm not talking about any type of content, it has to be original content, it has to be content that creates thought leadership, a content that inspires, a content that talks about innovation in the industry that you are active in. And it can be on LinkedIn, it can be through certain events, it can be through different trade shows. As long as you are creating content, you are still, it's a sign of life. You are still yes. relevant, you are still innovating, mm-hmm. and people want to see that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and content to commerce, as I said earlier, that is quite relevant nowadays. People would relate. So people are more inclined to opt in for something which they have read about from a content perspective than something that they had seen through an ad.
Yes, of course. Of course. It has more authority and more authenticity as well. So, I want to talk about that piece, which is, and I'm addressing the solopreneurs, right? Because there's many of those out. You talked about you still going to be in a personal aspect, right? The challenge today that I've seen with a lot of these entrepreneurs or solopreneurs is the inability to scale up. Because they sell their own, I mean, they create their personal brand nicely. They are now claiming the authority, whether it's in sales, whether it's in media, whether it's any authority that they've created. And the customer wants them by name. And that's the challenge. They've done a fantastic job creating their own personal brand where they're always required. So they're going to trade time with money. Instead, they try to scale up and then have their people to really lead and conduct business. You have passed that transition. You have scaled up. Shed some light on how did you scale up so we can give those ideas for the young entrepreneurs that are struggling because of funds, because of, not knowing how to scale up. How do you scale up?
It happens in different directions. The first one is it's quite hard when, as you said, you are a solopreneur, pretty much handling different functions within or all functions at some point within the startup you have created. You would get to a point where you would believe that you're the best person geared for doing everything. So, and obviously that is not true. So you need to start trusting people. You need to hire good talent. In fact, you need to look for talent that is better than you yes. in so many different
Absolutely.
Aspects.
That's key.
And yeah. I think you need to find your edge. So you need to understand that if you're going to try to be the best at everything, then you're going to end up being the best at nothing. So you're going to have limited knowledge in so many different things. And that's great for a coffee table discussion, but you're not going to be able to keep up. So you need to find your edge, choose what are the things that really matter to you from a personal development perspective, and where you need to spend the most of your time to be able to scale that company. And yes. for the rest of the functions, you need to bring in good people, learn how to trust them. And this comes with relationships and with time, but mm-hmm. you should start off somewhere.
Apply true leadership traits, right? By empowering your people.
Yeah. And then you would delegate those functions to other people. With customers, it's more tricky because, as you said, customers would relate to certain people before they relate to companies. Here, you need to start building trust with the team that you are creating. So you're going to see a customer, you bring in your colleagues, you start building that relationship, you start building that trust. And when deliverables start kicking in, the customer is going to build that trust and they would understand that, yeah, even though the founder is not present in every single meeting or in every single discussion, we are confident that the team that he has put in front of us shares that same DNA and he is guiding that entire process. So this is how I see it.
Very good, very good. I'm going to actually share a funny story. Maybe you recall that. So for the audience, the difference between a corporate mind and an entrepreneur mind. We were sitting together in a coffee shop and you were talking about the idea of Mangomola at the time. From a corporate side, and I come from a software background, I said, well, Wissam, we need to build a big bang approach. So let's prepare everything. Let's prepare all the different countries and let's go big bang. And you told me no. And I was surprised why you said no. You said, I want to do it one at a time. I will travel with my briefcase, my laptop, and I will see one customer at a time. And this is how we're going to launch it. And we deferred in that approach. From a corporate side to an entrepreneur side, I guess you have made it. So obviously your idea is great and you made it where you are today. But I just wanted to, because that reflects on, I always keep that lesson in my mind. If you want to have an entrepreneurship mind, if you want to grow a business, you need to unlearn what you learned. And I had to unlearn the way corporate way is done. And open up to an entrepreneurship way of doing things. So to the entrepreneurs outside, the younger folks, think out of the box. From the corporate side, take on the corporate advice, but shape it to your own way because, you know, the corporate people might not be always right. Do you have anything to say about that?
And I'll start off with the tech industry as a core focus because this is where I am mostly active in. Technology is the only industry that I can think of where you can start off with just an idea and you can be sitting in your bedroom with just a computer and convert that into a tangible product that can solve real business challenges. And you can be a one-person company with just a computer. And while that is a big advantage for entrepreneurs, the challenge of working in tech is whatever is sexy today could be legacy or obsolete 1 year down the line. And hence, recalling that discussion, my approach has always been, you just go to the market, you listen to the customer, and then that would shape your product development. I would never waste time on doing, not because they're not important. Today, I see their value. However, at that time, time is of essence. You want to move in quickly, you want to just go to the market, you want to build the product, and then you can enhance that. And I think in our industry, that's quite important. And because from my career, I have learned that there are a lot of times where you invest a lot of time building all these big bang tools that you're talking about. And when you get to the market, the tectonic changes in the market would have changed the market demand. So you don't do this. You go to the market, you listen to the customers while you are building that MVP or that first version of the product you want to ship out. And then you keep fine-tuning that product. And at some point, you need to pivot. So you would think that this is a product that should do this, but then the market's not looking for that. So instead of investing all that time and losing that time in the beginning, it's a progressive thing that you would do as you go.
Very good. Excellent. So we talked about content. We talked about authority. Let's talk about network. Again, at a younger age, you know, your network probably is your schoolmate or your college, you know, friends and whatever. But in business world, I mean, in my corporate days, I had a lot of connections, a lot of network beyond the business card exchange. So how do you create a network that you can rely on that could help you propagate and grow your network? Because if you don't have a network, you know, your authority or your positioning is not out there, right? So let's talk about networking.
Again, I see it's quite important to have two types of networks. One is a network for your personal development, and those are the people like you who would have seen things from the different perspective, the corporate perspective, the perspective of being a 5, 10, 20,000 person company, being listed on the stock exchange, having quite complex workflows. And those people you would personally learn from, and that would lead to your personal development, which is quite important, the personal brand that you create for yourself. And the other network is the corporate business network. And it's much easier to build that today with the social platforms we have out there. However, physical interaction remains quite important. Mm-hmm. So you need to go to trade shows, you need to be active, you need to create good content and be portrayed as a thought leader, speak at industry events. So you need to be active on that front as well. And I think this becomes an avalanche. So once you put the right pillars in place, it just keeps growing from that point onwards. And the more you build success in your industry, the easier the growth of that network becomes. Mm.
Some entrepreneurs or some audience that people are listening here, they are actively growing their network. I mean, if you talk about LinkedIn, there's a lot of activity on LinkedIn trying to amass followers. I mean, I know you probably have 6,000 or 7,000 followers. Some people have 200,000 followers. In your business, how much do you rely on those followers to grow your business? And in what shape? Because that's what we say, monetizing your network, right?
It's not about the amount of followers you have. It's about the engagement and interaction that you're able to create with those followers. So if I go on LinkedIn just gathering followers, it's not going to be of much value if I'm not able to create content that would trigger certain behavior from those followers. And that is where a network would translate into business.
Yes.
So definitely LinkedIn, as an example, it does help grow the business. You might not land a contract through a LinkedIn conversation, but you're going to trigger interest from someone who is in your industry, someone who is a potential customer, maybe not today, maybe 5 years down the line. And that person is going to remember, hey, these are good guys. I've read 1, 2, 3 white papers. I've read their take on a certain thing. And that eventually translates into business. In other industries, maybe it's different, but at least in our industry, it's mostly B2B. Mm-hmm. So this is how we utilize LinkedIn and other platforms for.
Excellent, excellent. Let's move on to sustainability. How do you think 5 years down the line, how are you sustaining your personal brand, I would say?
Through continuous learning and personal development. Every stage has its challenges. You need to make sure that you are one step ahead. You need to keep learning. You read a lot. You get coached a lot. You look at different successful people that you can relate to. And again, it's all about learning and knowledge, but always keep it in the back of your head. While it's important to focus on personal development, it's also important to keep following up on whatever the company needs and what kind of product development is there and where the industry is heading. So it's two parallel roads. So mainly that said,
This is great. You just mentioned something that triggered my next question. How do you keep up with trends? You know, with the change, you know, with AI and in the speed of light, if you want to say, how do you keep up with trends? So you, because you're in the technology domain, and I'm addressing the entrepreneurs that, or the listeners who are basically in that tech field, and everybody wants to go on the AI, especially the young guys, because the young people, right? So how do you keep up with trends?
This is what keeps me up at night, to be honest. Having worked for so many years in the tech industry, I have seen how disruptive companies today are obsolete the next day. So this is what keeps me up. And I think, again, go back to knowledge, understanding your vertical quite well, understanding how... So you need to know the difference between the trend and the future.
Okay. And what's the difference?
So I'll tell you. Okay. A trend does not necessarily mean the future. Ah. It can be hype.
Okay.
And we do get a lot of those in our industry. So you need to understand what are the trends that you need to embrace and invest in. And what are the trends that are just passerbys?
Okay.
And some of those can be good. Some of those can be relevant and they can help you on the short run or maybe on the long run. AI specifically is tapping into pretty much everything we do. And you need to learn how to embrace that innovation, how to incorporate that into your offering, into your product. And at the end of the day, how to leverage whatever Gen AI or AI is giving you to provide a better product or service to your customer. So this is how we see it. So you need to embrace those trends, the ones that you see are relevant to your industry.
Yeah.
You need to incorporate whatever you can out of them into your current offering. And then you need to provide a better product and a service to the customer.
You know, I learned something great today, right? Because a trend could not be, it's not necessarily be the future. So it could be a hype, which is a great takeaway for me today. Thank you for that. So moving on to two or three lessons that you have that has impacted you in the last 19 years. Share a couple of lessons with us if you can.
I would. I think if I am to break those down into a structured paragraph, I would say passion is a very tricky word. So while passion is very important, passion can make you a consumer when you want to be a creator. So if you are passionate about something, that's not enough. You need to put in the sweat. You need to put in the effort and the perseverance to convert that into an offering, a product or a service. Something else, and this is quite relevant today, I think focus is key. And just like you have checked my LinkedIn, I could relate to one LinkedIn post that you have mentioned about a discussion with your father. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can repeat that. I think we live in a world where there is so much distraction, a lot of platforms promoting high frequency content consumption. Attention spans are shrinking and it has become quite challenging to spend a streak of 2 hours with zero distractions, focusing on a single thing. And then you're ending up with a lot of people who know a little bit about so many things, but very few people who have excellent knowledge in a single thing.
Yes.
And I think that is a threat for entrepreneurs. So you need to focus and it doesn't come easy. You need to put in the time, you need to put in the effort and always focus on the product. One very important thing while building a startup is you always need to think P&L as well. Luckily, we were I don't know if luckily or not. However, we were always organically funded. So every company we have launched, pretty much, it was me injecting the money into that company. So I always had to be aware that this is a company that
financially.
Exactly, naturally, how you need to stand versus your cash flow, your investments, where you invest in. However, that is not the case for a lot of startups who bring in outside investment. So they don't tend to think of profitability, cash flow, these types of things. And when the investment runs out, if their P&L doesn't make sense, they're not going to be able to sustain. So this is something that you need to develop. And that goes on the personal education part. You need to have a general understanding of finances, cash flow, these types of things, because you're going to need those moving onwards. Focus on the product. Again, make that your 60% of whatever you do. So 60% of your time should go on product, how to make your product better, how to be one step ahead. Definitely listen to the customers and be ready to pivot, be ready to fine tune your offering based on customer demand. Because if there's no market for your product, then you're not in the market.
Of course. Excellent insights for our listeners. So passion, focus, and be agile and adaptable to pivot for your product based on trends, based on customer. Listen to always your customers and let them guide your development and progression. And of course, trends becoming the future rather than hype. This is excellent insights.
And keep the P&L in the back of your head.
Keep the P&L, exactly. Keep the P&L in that. So what about people who do not have the funds organically? Would they go venture out? At what stage do you think, you know, and I'm looking here at personal brand, to go and command some investors?
Money. That's tricky. If you are a young entrepreneur, who has not had any professional experience whatsoever, it is hard to build credibility and a reputation, and even to build the confidence in yourself to go and pitch to a table or to a room full of investors. So I think confidence comes with knowledge and mentorship. And that, again, is on the personal skill set and the professional skill set, as in the product or service knowledge that you want to build. So for those entrepreneurs, I would say you need to keep learning. Make your time dedicated to understanding whatever industry you want to be in. Use your time to the benefit of your personal brand, create good content, and create thought leadership, because this is what's going to make people listen to you, read your content, consume your content, and build trust to eventually utilize your product. On the investment side, it really depends on the founder. So, and it depends on the actual company you're looking to launch. There are certain companies that need a lot of deep pockets to kickstart. And from here, you need to go and pitch that to investors from day one. If you are someone who's got some savings, it can be family and friends for the angel investment. And then when you get to a scale where you would want to boost your growth and your cash does not allow you to do that, then If it comes back to me, that is where I would potentially look for investment. If you're able to delay that, just delay it as much as you can. And the minute you feel that you want to move at a pace where your organic growth is not capable of allowing you to move at that pace, then potentially you can seek outside investment. And the investment should always be geared towards product innovation and growth.
Yes.
It's not for pampering yourself and your team. That should be the priority for the investment.
Excellent. I'm trying to wrap up now. So I'm going to end up with one last question. And here we're going to address the young people that are working today. They're in the employment category, whether they have a few years or already past the 10 years. And they're always thinking. What is a piece of advice you give them? Stay in their career, move out. What do you think we should tell them?
I wouldn't say move out because It's not easy, depending on where you are in your career. Mm-hmm. I mean, that piece of advice would change. The earlier you start on yourself, the better, because you have less risk, you don't have any major commitments, and you have not much to lose. You can always go back and start off with that career. However, at the same time, if you don't have an entrepreneurship culture within the organization that you are working in, and you have a solid idea, and if you sleep on that idea three nights in a row,
yeah,
and still wake up the fourth day and say, yeah, this is a solid idea, it's worth exploring. But you need to know that a lot of the success stories that you see today, you're just seeing the final outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So for a fact that
the struggles
they are in front of you, it means that they're either making it or they have made it. Mm. And at that point, you think it's easy.
Yeah,
I don't mean to be demotivating, but it doesn't come easy. There's a lot of struggle. You need to put in more hours, more effort, more risk. And sometimes you have to put everything on the line,
mm-hmm,
for the sake of making it on your own. So while it has its advantages, it has its perks. Also, it's not an easy journey. If you're willing to put in the effort, if you have the idea that you can take to the market and the perseverance to make it happen, then definitely it's something you have to explore. It's something that you need to do.
Very nice. If I were to summarize then for the people out there, the young minds that are working today, if I put a bit of a structure, first find your mission, what do you want to do? You want to stay in your career and build and become the next CEO? Do you want to go on your own? Do you have a passion that you want to follow and pursue? Second thing is, what differentiates you out there? So find your unique value that make this reality happen, whether you're in the corporate side or whether you're on an entrepreneur, mm-hmm, side. Find your voice. How are you going to communicate out to the open? Start building authority through content.
Yeah.
Right. Through LinkedIn, through any other papers, in conferences, in TEDx, in whatever you can to get it out, to build that authority. Create your own network. And you have nicely said the network for personal growth and network for corporate side. Start building those network. And network goes beyond the business cards that you give. Engage with this network. And that's really the key value. And then sustain it, to basically give you longevity and looking at the financial impact and so forth. So you can read my book, Reimagining You. You can go to a coaching or mentoring sessions, or you can hire a full-fledged agency to actually do this for you and build it and help you in your journey. So Wissam, this was a fascinating 1 hour of podcast. I really enjoyed it. I don't know about you, but...
I know, I did. Thank you for having me on your platform. And the reason I enjoyed this conversation with you, Dr. Eli, is because I have known you for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And ever since I was thinking about starting. And it makes me happy to be having this discussion after that long journey.
Yes.
Where... Luckily, and I managed to go through so many milestones to get to this point. And your contribution to my personal and career development is something that I value. A lot of the ideas and discussions we had, I did not understand back then,
mm-hmm,
because maybe they were premature for where I stood,
yeah,
in my career. A lot of the things I look at today, I go back and recall our discussions.
Reflect on those.
So yeah, thank you for having me on your podcast. And I truly hope that I was able to contribute with some
Your
insight.
Story is truly inspirational to everybody that is listening to the podcast.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing these moments, for your journey and your inspiration.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for listening to Reimagining You, If you enjoyed the episode, follow the show, leave a review, and share it forward. See you next week with a new episode. Keep reimagining you.